rules take effect to deter teen smoking. President Clinton pressured to clamp down on Mexico for drug corruption. North Carolina jury weighs death penalty for ex-paratrooper in racist killings. Good Friday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Starting today, it is supposed to be tougher to buy a pack of cigarettes than a bottle of whiskey.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. At a ceremony this morning, the president will hail the start of a new federal crackdown on tobacco sales to minors. It's already illegal to sell cigarettes to anyone under 18, but the new regulations require sales clerks to check a photo ID of every cigarette customer up to the age of 27. Each violation could cost a store owner $250. Spokesman Mike McCurry says the White House is looking to the states to enforce the regulation.
We believe that state and local governments will certainly see the importance of addressing the public health priorities that the president has defined, curbing tobacco use by kids.
It's an issue that served Mr. Clinton well during his re-election campaign, and more regulations take effect this summer that would ban most cigarette vending machines and end tobacco advertising aimed at teens. Mark Noller, CBS News at the White House.
In Dover, New Hampshire, convenience store clerk Donna Smart is on the front lines of this new assault on teen smoking.
No ID, no cigarettes, I'm sorry. You know, and they get all huffy-puffy. But you know, what can you do? But I think it's a good idea myself, I really do.
And she's a smoker. Big Tobacco is also under legal assault at the state level, as Dan Revive reports.
Florida is one of the states taking the lead against the tobacco industry, suing cigarette makers for billions of dollars spent on health care. Governor Lawton Chiles, himself a former smoker, had his health department release a study that claims one out of every five deaths in Florida can be blamed on smoking. A spokeswoman for R.J. Reynolds said these are not new statistics, and it's not fair to blame cigarettes for every case of heart and respiratory disease. She added that the state's making it harder to pick an unbiased jury. In another case, a Miami judge has ruled that the chief executives of Reynolds, Philip Morris, and other cigarette manufacturers will have to answer questions on videotape from a lawyer suing them on behalf of 60,000 flight attendants who allegedly suffered from secondhand smoke before all domestic flights became no smoking. Dan Revive, CBS News, Miami.
A federal judge in San Francisco has thrown out a lawsuit filed by counties seeking damages from tobacco companies for treating smoking-related illness. An American Cancer Society study finds that low-tar filtered cigarettes have not reduced the danger of cancer. Instead, they're responsible for a different type of the disease that reaches deeper into the lung. President Clinton has 2 days to decide whether to certify Mexico as a full ally in the war on drugs. But after disclosure of high-level drug corruption, more than 40 senators are urging that he not do so. California Senator Dianne Feinstein on the PBS NewsHour called for Mr. Clinton to decertify Mexico but waive trade sanctions.
I think things on our border have never been worse. Cocaine seizures are less than they were in 1993. And we have the cartels moving with abandon, essentially bribing those who they can and killing those that they can't.
Mexican officials say they deserve full recognition for their anti-drug efforts and warn that a decision to decertify would be counterproductive. The Washington Post reports the FBI is investigating whether the Chinese government tried to buy influence among members of Congress through illegal campaign contributions and payments from Chinese-controlled businesses. A key by-election for Britain's House of Commons signals a Labour landslide when the whole nation votes in May, and opposition leader Tony Blair appears set to ride to power Bill Clinton style. More from Kimberly Dozier.
James Keith Chapman.
Labour.
22,767.
Tabloids are calling it a kick in the whirls. It's a confidence-hammering loss for Britain's conservatives in the last big electoral test before the one that really matters. The opposition Labour Party won a near landslide vote in affluent Tory stronghold Wirral South. The conservatives say it's just a protest vote over the government's handling of things like the mad cow crisis. But Labour's winning parliamentary candidate, Ben Chapman, says it's a sign of things to come.
People of Wirral South have spoken for Britain. They're saying to John Major and to his government, enough is enough.
With the general election expected in 9 weeks or less, that's the last thing the conservatives want to hear. Kimberly Dozier for CBS News, London.
The BBC reports that UN inspectors are now convinced that Iraq has advanced chemical weapons stockpiles and is working to develop missiles that could reach London and other European cities. Military expert Colonel Mike Dewar says there's no evidence long-range missiles have actually been built.
There are two parts, if you like, of such a weapon of mass destruction. There is the agent itself,
And he may well have that. That's the relatively easy part. But the delivery vehicle is much more complicated.
London-based Iraqi dissident Laif Kuba says the West is being dangerously naive about Saddam Hussein.
Regrettably, the policy makers do not distinguish between Iraq, the people and the country on one hand, and Saddam, the man who is determined to have an edge over everybody else on the other hand.
It's 5 minutes after the hour. Revised figures show the U.S. economy grew a strong 3.9% in the final quarter of 1996. The first estimate showed even more robust growth of 4.7%. The inflation component was unchanged at 2.5%. A former paratrooper has been convicted in the skinhead killing of two black people in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Jim Crisula reports.
Now that he's been convicted of the December 1995 murders of a black couple, James Burmeister faces the possibility of a death sentence. It's expected to be the middle of next week before jurors make a decision on a sentence. Several relatives of Burmeister's victims feel the former Fort Bragg paratrooper deserves death. Georgia Burton's niece was one of Burmeister's victims.
I would hope that this is sending a message to anybody, whether at Fort Bragg or anywhere, who has these kinds of beliefs and acts them out in this manner. I hope that that does say something to them, that society is not going to tolerate this kind of behavior.
The guilty verdicts have also renewed the debate over racism within the military. Several family members of Burmeister's victims say the Army has not done enough to address the issue. Jim Crisula for CBS News, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
A jury in Rochester, New York has convicted a nurse's aide of raping a comatose woman. More from WHAM newsman Dave McKinley.
She is probably the most vulnerable victim I have ever encountered.
That was how New York State Attorney General Dennis Vacco described a woman known publicly only as Jane Doe, who'd been in a coma for 10 years before she got pregnant and had a baby. Largely based on DNA evidence linking him to the child, a jury has convicted 53-year-old John Horace of rape and sex abuse. Horace was an aide at the nursing home where Jane Doe lived at the time she conceived. He was convicted previously for molesting another patient at the same facility. He faces up to 25 years in prison, to the delight of the victim's family, who's now raising her nearly one-year-old son.
I was really glad. I was glad justice was done, that it was served.
Dave McKinley for CBS News, Rochester, New York.
It's 8 past. There reportedly will be no 1998 model of Ford's poor-selling Thunderbird. According to the Wall Street Journal, the automaker instead hopes to revise the luxury sport coupe with a new look after the turn of the century. And that's the World News Roundup for this Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up over 13 points. The broadcast produced by Steve Bolton and Dan Prizendance. Engineering by Matt DeLito, Dave Saviot, and John Morrell. I'm Bill Lynch, CBS News.